You can go ahead and turn to the book of Psalms, chapter 37. Psalms chapter 37. Before we begin, let's bow to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come before Your holy throne this morning. We thank You that You allow us to come boldly. And no doubt it's not that we deserve it because of what Jesus has done that we could even approach You. We thank You for Jesus. We thank You for salvation. We thank You for Your church and even be a small part of it. We pray that You'd help us this morning to honor You with everything that's said or done. Bless this church, dear Lord. We need You so much here. Even as I try to bring Your message this morning, I realize I can't even speak unless You speak through me. I know without You, I'll make a mess of things. I pray You'd help me to deliver Your message and not my own. I pray, Lord, as a church, that we could have a true revival this week. I know we don't have to wait for Brother Clyde to get here to have one. We can start today. I pray that You'd help us. Bless throughout today. You know what we stand in need of, even afternoon service. I pray, Lord, that You'd bless there as well. Bless our men overseas, all those that have said, pray for me. You know every request. You know even the hidden things upon our heart that we deal with and struggle to be able to voice. I pray, Lord, that You'd bless those as well. Dear Lord, most of all, if there's one that's lost, help them to see their need to trust You before it's too late. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Psalms 37 and verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. That's a verse we all love to run to. That's a verse that we like to grasp and find hope in, that God will bless me and God, He will even give me the desires of my heart. This morning I don't want us to focus on the desires. So I want you to go ahead and get that out of your mind. Certainly we could teach that lesson from this, but this morning I want us to look at a little bit different thought. I want us to look at the relationship that's in this verse. You know, I'm reminded of Brother Joe Lott was my pastor at one time, and he took a poll among a bunch of young people and just asked them the question. He said, when you think of God, what comes to mind? And there's several of them there that give answers, and you know, somebody may say, well, I think of this mystical force up in heaven. You know, something you really can't define, you can't put a shape on God, so it's hard to do that. And somebody say, well, when I think of God, I think of Him as perfect in every way. And you know, and one young man said, when I think of God, I think of thou shalt not. and you know, Brother Norbert, that's a very honest answer. You know, a lot of people will try to give you a preacher answer whenever you ask a question like that, but that's a very honest answer. And you know, I think a lot of us, when we think of God, we think of Him on those terms. God is a thou shalt not God. Don't do this. Don't do that. And I don't want you to get me wrong this morning. No doubt, when you think of God, we need to fear Him. You know, it's healthy to have a fear of God. You know, we need to put God in His place and He's on His throne. We don't need to bring God down to our level. I know God came down to our level whenever He saved us, but we need to look at Him as God. There's no doubt whenever God looks at us, the Bible said that when He considers the nations, He said there's a drop of a bucket to Him. You know, and that's a statement in our Bible. You think about, well, Iraq, Iran, Afghanistan, the United States, and all these great forces, and the great force of China, and all that. The Bible says they're as a drop of a bucket to Him. So that kind of, if the nations are as a drop of a bucket, where does that put me? You know, not even a speck of sand. You know, so. When you think of God, certainly He's a holy God. We don't need to take away from the fact of that. When we think of God, He has told us to stay away from sin, hasn't He? So He is a thou shalt not God to some degree. He's told us to stay away from even the appearance of evil. I think if we could learn that one verse, it would clean up a lot of our behavior. We would look more like Christians if we would abstain from even the appearance of evil. You know, a lot of us, we want to tiptoe right on the edge, don't we? As Christians, we know what it means to just plunge into sin. So rather than plunge into it, we want to stand on the edge and look over into it and hope we don't fall in. You know, they always say if you play with fire, you're going to get burned. And that's what happens to a lot of us as Christian people. We want to get so close to it and we covet what other people are doing, even the lost world. We see the things that they do and we want to be involved, and yet we know God said stay away from it. So we just want to kind of look over into it. Lord said abstain from even the appearance of evil. So certainly when you think of God, God is holy and God is above us. Bible said no man has seen His face at any time. So you can't really put a face on Him. Even Moses, I guess he come as close to any of us, of any human being, as to seeing God. God allowed him to see His back parts as He covered him in the cleft of the rock, and then as He passed by, He took His hand off, and Moses was able to see His back parts. And there were times when Moses was in the presence of God that the Bible said his face glowed. He'd come back to the children of Israel to deliver God's message, and he would have to cover his face up with a veil because he was glowing. So this morning, I don't want to take away from God's holiness, but I think it's very important for us to know Him for more than just rules and regulations. Certainly, God has told us, don't do this, don't do that. Adultery is wrong. Homosexuality is wrong. Lying is wrong. We need to remember this. We need to understand that. But I want us to know God for more than just rules and regulations. I want you to notice, in the verse I just read to you, He said, delight thyself in the Lord. What do you think God wants out of you? Why did God create you in the first place? Somebody won't answer that. Why did God create you in the first place? Create man did not make God any better. He's not somehow more holy because He created us. He's not somehow better off because He created us. God didn't need anything out of us. So, God needed praise and worship. That's why God didn't need anything. God does not need anything. He's completely sufficient in and of Himself. So why did He create us? For His good pleasure. All things were created by Him and for Him. We was created for Him. So why? God desires a relationship with us. God wants me to not only know Him, not only fear Him, not only to be scared of what might happen if I don't worship Him. You know, a lot of us as Christian people, we honor God and we worship God strictly because we're scared of the consequences if we don't. God wants more than that out of us. He said, delight thyself in the Lord. Learn to love Him. Learn to delight thyself in Him. You know, whenever I got married, Sabrina and I got married, and we were just madly in love. And you know that kind of love before you get married, to where, you know, it's a lot of infatuation is what it is. You know, it's the newness of it all. It's wanting to get to know each other and all that kind of stuff. After you get married, you really learn to love people. Or you learn to hate them, one or the other. But, you know, if you're going to do it God's way, we learn to love our spouse. And, you know, I can say today, and a lot of people can't say this, brother, I love my wife more today than I did the day I married her. But I had to learn some things about her. And I didn't realize it at the time of how different we are. And in order for me to delight myself in her, I had to learn to appreciate her. I had to learn to understand her. I had to learn to even like some of the things that she likes. There's a lot of things that my wife did and ways she was raised and little bitty things that at the time, whenever I realized I'd got a little quirk that I had to get used to, now I'm finding, you know, it's really not that bad. In fact, she does some things better. Whenever I first got, how many of you men, and you can be honest about this, when you men got married, you said you got to cook it like mama cooks it. I did some of that. Mama don't cook it that way. Let me show you some things. And then I realized something. You know what? If I accept her way can be better sometimes. God is saying, I not only want you to know me by name and to fear me and to do things because of consequences, I want you to learn to delight yourself in me. He said, I'll give you the desires of thine heart. I want you to notice, and I said we're not going to deal with the desires, but I want you to notice the relationship. He cares about your desires. You say, well, as long as our desire matches up with His desire, it's okay. But if not, He's going to do things His way. So really, you know, there's a relationship here. God wants us to delight in Him. And in so doing, He said, I'll give you the desires of your heart. I think about the relationship David had with God. A man after God's own heart. And then David has a son that's going to take over and be on the throne. And because of the relationship that God and David had, David looked at Solomon. He said, you ask anything you want, I'm going to give it to you. That's desire. Anything you want, I will give it to you. He said, I want wisdom. He said, I'll not only give you wisdom, I'll give you riches and I'll give you fame and glory and all of that. I'll give you all of this. Why? God didn't have to. He didn't give it to his brother. He didn't give it to somebody over in Egypt or Ethiopia or one of these other places. He gave it to Solomon. Why? Because there was a relationship that had been built there. Not just, God, oh, I fear God. It was a relationship of love. A man after God's own heart. Yes, this morning I'm dust. But I'm thankful that God remembers that. You look at the verse, a lot of times we focus on the dust part, don't we? And we need to, because that's what I am. I'm reminded that every time I take off these white preacher shirts, you always got that ring of dirt in your collar. We just dirt. We are. But that He remembers that. God remembers He's the one who created us. He remembers the frailty of man. He knows, even as Jesus is our mediator, He knows what it's like to be man. That don't give us a loophole just to be whatever we want to be. But when God sees us mess up, He understands we're human. What are you getting at, Brother Brad? Very simple thought this morning. There is to be a personal relationship between man and God. You know, there was a time in the past that the Lord spoke through a mediator. We talked about Moses in Sunday school this morning, and God wouldn't talk to just everybody. He talked through Moses, and then He told Moses, now you go talk to the people. There was one time when God began to speak from the mountain. And the mountain began to rumble, and you know, lightning and thunder and all this, just the ruckus, and the people were so afraid, they run to Moses and they said, "You talk to him. Don't let him speak to us this way. You go talk to him for us." At that time, there was a fear. It was a fear relationship, wasn't it? Wasn't really a relationship at all between God and the people. It was a fear type relationship. Then he began to speak through the priest. And God would meet with the priest behind a curtain, the Holy of Holies. And they were only able to go into the Holy of Holies once a year, and they had to take blood of sacrifices with them. And they had to be right too, Brother Harold. Because if they wasn't right, they'd have fallen down dead in there. What we understand through history, they wore little bells on the hem of their garments. That way every now and then they could listen from outside and see if they heard them bells dinging. Because if they wasn't, well, he must have fell down dead. But you know what? When you look at the relationship that man and God have today, that veil rent, didn't it? There's a lot of symbolism there. At one time, we were not permitted to go into the Holy of Holies. That was reserved for the holy high priest and all of that. But whenever Jesus was crucified, that veil rent from top to bottom. What'd that do? It opened up the Holy of Holies, didn't it? Now, I can boldly go before God's throne. The Bible teaches us, come boldly before the throne of grace. Come boldly. You know, our view of God, it's almost hard for us to say that, ain't it? That I, as little old man, as dust, as a drop of a bucket, God has told me and invited me to come before His throne, not only just come trembling, He said, come boldly. That's almost hard to imagine, ain't it? Not only can I come before His throne boldly, I can come before His throne and say, Abba Father, or Daddy Father. You know, the president, and even the man running for president, they all want our vote. And they politic for our vote. No, they tell us how much they care about us and how much they want to help us and how much they love America. You reckon the president knows your name? You reckon he even knows you exist? If you met him, shook his hand, introduced yourself, do you think he'd know your name 5 minutes after you walked away? Well, get this, God knows you by name. He's a lot greater than the president. He's a lot more holy. He's a lot higher up. And He is God, and I am dust. But this God that could be so far away from me, and when He looked at man, He said, our righteousness, if we piled all our righteousness together, it'd be like filthy rags in His sight. Even though He's God and I'm man, I can still come before Him. That veil separating us has been rent. I can go boldly in there. I can say, Abba, Father, or Daddy, Father. And He knows me by name. And the Bible says, if I'll delight in Him, He'll give me the desires of my heart. There's a relationship that we can build between us and the Lord if we want to. Look at Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7 and verse 7. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask Him? Again, we're not looking at the receiving. We're not looking at the desires of our heart. I want us to get away from that this morning. I want us to look simply at the relationship. It's personal. There's a closeness there that can be had. God's telling me, He said, Brad, if you will just delight in me and you will come and ask, He said, I'll give it to you. If you'll come and you'll seek, He said, you'll find it. If you will knock, I will open it unto you. If you have a desire of on your heart, He said, you just delight in me and let's have this relationship together. He said, and I will look after you like a father would his son. It can be that personal relationship there. Closeness. Fatherly concern over us. He's much more. When we see God, we need to realize it's much more than the Creator and the dust. It's a father and a son. It's a father and a daughter. Look at the relationship between Jesus and the Father just a minute. When Jesus was baptized, God wasn't off on business somewhere. He didn't have to ask Him to record it. He'd see it later. God looked down upon that. He was watching that baptismal service. And whenever Jesus come up out of the water, He sent the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove, and then He speaks out, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." That's a proud father looking on his son. When I think about the relationship between Jesus and God, Jesus would say, "The Father and I are one." Jesus was in trouble. God sent angels down there to minister to Him. There was times when the Lord was weak physically because He was human, He was weak, and the Lord sent angels to minister to Him. There's times whenever Jesus had desires and God would answer. There was time when Jesus would put His desire aside and said, "Nevertheless, Thy will be done." Complete obedience. A Father answering prayers. You know what's so good about that, Brother Norvell, is not only is Jesus a son, I'm a son too. Whenever I trusted Jesus, and no doubt everything is possible through Jesus, I don't want us to miss that fact, but at the same time, because of Jesus, I'm just as much a son. Your sons and daughters, if you're here and you're saved this morning. You know, Brother Norvell, I've noticed, and I know it's an emotional thing with you, and I'm emotional when it comes to my kids, but I've noticed you love your children and all that, and your grandchildren. I picture, and I know I hadn't been at your house maybe as much as I should, but I picture you as, you know, if one of them wanted to come sit on your knee and just talk, you'd let them. You know, and they're able to come and sit at your table, and there's a love there. You know, I wish we could see, as much as Brother Norvell would love his family, God loves us more. You know, and there's a relationship there that is more. He said, you being evil know how to give good gifts to your kids. Us being human, in other words, us being human, we know how to treat our family. It's more than just how we treat somebody down at the bank. Or it's more than how we treat somebody at the ball field. There's a relationship there, ain't there? There's a father and son relationship. There's a love. There's a closeness. God knows how to do an even better job than we do. And that being said, let me try to close. I want to ask you a question. I want you to think very deeply with me this morning. Is this the relationship you have with the Lord? I want you to think about your relationship with God just a minute. Do you have that kind of closeness with Him? I'm not saying, are you saved? There's a lot of saved people that's a million miles away from God. And I know, on the other hand, you say, well, God's everywhere. He's in the He's even in the depths of hell. He's everywhere you go. God is there. I understand that. But I'm talking about the relationship. Do you pray to God and know that He hears your prayers? Do you feel close to Him when you pray? Whenever you talk to Him, do you think about the man upstairs? God, if you're listening, or is it like a friend? Able to talk to Him like He's your friend. Do you depend on Him daily, or do you depend on Him when you're in trouble? I want to encourage us this morning that we seek that personal touch to our relationship with our Lord. Savior, yes, He's our Savior. Master, no doubt. We're like servants. We need to be servants in this world. He's the Master. He is our Master. Creator, you bet. He created us out of dust. Don't forget that. But at the same time, Father, He certainly is. He's the best friend you'll ever have. But here's the thing. You got to want that relationship with Him. It don't just come, well, I won't say it don't come natural. Really, it does come natural. But from the carnal side, you know, we can't have the relationship that maybe we... You know, it's a little different. I'll put it that way. We delight ourselves in the Lord and everything about us starts to change. Our desires start being like His desires. I want to encourage you this morning that not only know Him as God, that the world knows Him as God for the most part. Don't just serve Him because you're scared to death that if you mess up, there's going to be consequences. I want to encourage you to love Him. Delight yourself in Him. Learn to like what He likes. Learn to understand He knows best. I wish I could get across what's on my heart this morning. I feel like I'm failing with it, but I want you to just consider your relationship with God this morning. Is it as close as you want it to be? Well, Howard, I'm convinced of this. Some people as close to God as they want to be. They don't want to be any closer, because if I get any closer, God may require this out of me. If I get any closer, I may have to suffer a little bit. We could be men after God's own heart. That's the kind of relationship we can have. What's up to you? Last verse song.